All right. Well, thank you, Track 7, for being here with us. We're talking about helping individuals solve problems, particularly couples. Let me give you a few scenarios right here with you. These are actual scenarios that I have moved into one particular couple, and I'm going to use these scenarios to illustrate throughout what we're trying to accomplish here in this particular session. So I'm going to call these folks John and Mary. So John and Mary have a long-standing history of conflict. So they've been arguing all the time. And on one day, as they are driving together, John asked Mary for $10 to go to the grocery store. So they're in the car together. John asked Mary for $10. Mary says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to the grocery store tomorrow, and I'll buy all you need. Just tell me what you need. An argument ensues. The car is stopped. The argument continues to rage on, and Mary steps out of the car to cool off, and John, at that moment in time, hits the gas pedal. And he races off, and Mary's purse is still in the car. Mary calls the police. John ends up at the police station. Your mind has to just wonder here. So it starts with this, $10 for the grocery store. And then one person ends up in jail. How does that happen? So let me give you another scenario. So that actually did happen. It's called, I got a phone call on a Monday one time. And the lady in this case was telling me all that her husband did. Now, let's another example here. So Mary and John, and in reality, these were not the same couple, but I'm combining them here together for illustration as well. We'll see why in a little bit. But Mary texts John and asks if he needs her to serve alongside of him at a discussed, but not committed, Wednesday night serving opportunity. So we have Wednesday night ministries around here. So Mary and John had discussed, but Mary had not actually committed to serving on Wednesday night at a particular ministry event. So Mary texts John and asks if he needs her to serve alongside of him as discussed, but again, not committed that evening. So she's texting him during the day. Mary says she is trying to plan ahead and get a few things done because the rest of the week is busy. John fires back a text. If you don't show up, this is on you. Don't make me look bad. They end up having a lengthy texting argument. That's always a great way to have a discussion, right? Through texts. I have never found that to be effective. And each accused the other of not being a Christian. That's where it ends up. So in one scenario, it starts with $10 and one person ends up in jail. And the other scenario starts with a scheduling issue and they end up going to hell, both of them. I mean, how does this happen? How does this happen? You know, let's talk about helping couples solve problems. That's kind of what you hear in the conflict resolution. And it doesn't just apply to couples, but we can apply it there as well. All of us have people in our lives who seem to argue all the time. What's actually going on in that regard? How can you begin to sort through the issues and help them to solve problems? And we all have problems all the time, but not every problem results in conflict and division. That's going to be a crucial distinction here. I don't think we always recognize that. So every conflict between people normally starts with some kind of need or problem, but not every problem has to result in a conflict. So ultimately, we're trying to talk about here in this lecture problem resolution. So two people, like a husband and wife, coming together in order to further God's plan, further God's value system, solving the problems of life so that I can create infrastructure so that my children can thrive and learn about God, so that I can serve the community in my Christianity. But conflict presents that. So foundational understanding of problem resolution. Understand the concept of a problem, which is something that actually causes uncertainty or difficulty and hardship in life. Okay? Something that causes uncertainty or difficulty and hardship in life. You know, what was the original issue in the first John and Mary case? It was $10. For a particular perceived or real need, okay? I don't know what originally the need was, okay? But it was $10 for something. And in another case, this one may be a little bit more clear. The second illustration, it was the wife's perceived need of a scheduling issue. And she wanted to get out of a discussed but not committed Wednesday night service opportunity. So in each of these cases, the need at the grocery store and the scheduling issue presented a difficulty to John and Mary. So there was a real or perceived difficulty that arise. So they arise because I perceive that I need something. And again, in these two cases, the normal occurrences of life, grocery need, scheduling need, was the presenting difficulty. But in the end, both of them are concluding that the other is not saved, or one, the police get involved in somehow. So for the moment, though I want to have you recognize problems arise, I mean, this is life. Problems come all the time. And a counselor will do well to ask this question. What was the original stimulating problem? Okay? There are an infinite number of difficulties or problems, resource limitations, scheduling limitations, the death of a loved one that causes uncertainty in schedules, job loss, car crash, child disobedience. Let me ask you this question, and you discuss it with me for just a moment. Why is it important to identify the original problem? Why is it important? Okay, what would you say? Why is it important to identify the original problem? Even though you may not even know the original problem, but why is it important to identify the original problem at hand? What would you say?
Triggers?
Like, what do you mean by that? Unpack that. That's a common term today, triggers. There are consistent things, and many times the consistent things are problems that have gone on and on and on from a husband or wife that have never been resolved. And the moment something like that happens again, it triggers. Why else is it important to identify the original problem at hand, Julie?
Patterns.
Oh, absolutely. Looking for patterns. Why else? Why else? Okay, getting to what's behind it. Okay, we're trying to get past the sinful reactions in order to see what was the need. So if we understand what was the original need, we bring the focus back to the need of the moment and off of each other for just a moment, because God is working through the problems of life and we need to see God at work. So the counselor himself should understand why God allows these needs, understand what God is doing through the problems of life. Now, let me ask you this question. What does God do through the problems of life? So there's a myriad of things. Don't look at your notes for just a second because I think you have no blanks. But just talk with me. What does God do through resource limitations, needs at the grocery store, scheduling limitations? What is your God attempting to do through the problems of life? Just name a few things. All right, not all at once, though. So let's do this in an orderly manner, not like the Corinthians. Okay, what did I hear? All right, there. So in one way, the problems of life begin to reveal something about our hearts. Okay, what else? Yes, Kevin. Okay, to show me or to allow me the opportunity to even flesh out my faith, work out my faith. What else is God doing through the problems of life? To grow our faith. Yes, sir. Sanctify, which is growing. Okay. Yes. Oh, and I'm going to put that in the category of growing, sanctifying as well. Excellent. Yes. To prove that he is faithful, to show him at work. What else? Did I see a hand over here? More dependence upon him, humble dependence upon him. Yes, ma'am. To show our idols. And that goes back to, I said something about it, to reveal our hearts. One thing you guys didn't mention, I think you got everything that I think I put on these notes, if you want to look at them, but the very first one, what is God doing through the problems of life? Providing opportunities to advance the creation mandate. Think about that for just a second. So when God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness and let them rule over the fish of the sea, God gave mankind a responsibility. to have dominion over the earth. And I don't know how many of you have